thank you to our sponsors, Digital Magic the Gathering Online Card Specialist, CardHoarder.com, and MTGOTraders.com. And also thank you to our paper magic specialist, GondaPlaid.com, along with Cape Fear Games, a online card store and brick-and-mortar card store. You can find us each week on MTGCast.com, StarCityGames.com, TCGPlayer.com, MyMTGO.com, and MTGSalvation.com.
Hello and welcome everybody to a very special post-M11 pre-release Monday Night Magic episode 215. That is an enormous number. So, and in order to do this, to talk about M11 pre-releases, since I didn't go to mine, and we'll talk about why that happened, how I nearly died this weekend, and how I'm still purging toxins from my body, I have three co-hosts with me today to go through their pre-releases. I have Eric, Jack, and Marcel. So I want you guys to say hello.
Hello, everybody. Back again.
And we are continuing to work on Marcel's microphone. He'll be getting a new headset here very shortly. So we're going to cross everybody. I want like 20 pairs of fingers crossed that the microphone does not turn into Darth Vader meets Optimus Prime. We're just going to cross our fingers here. So, guys, it sounds like you all went to your pre-releases this weekend.
Yeah, I was able to hit up the Sunday one.
Okay, sweet. So Eric was Sunday. Jack, when did you go?
Well, of course, I'm the life of the party, so I had to go on a Saturday night.
That's kind of bad and good also at the same time.
It's very telling.
And what about for you, Marcel? When did you hit up the pre-release?
I was lucky enough to go Saturday morning.
All right. So let's just kind of run through. Eric, why don't you start with telling about your pre-release, and we'll just go around the table, and we'll go from there.
So my pre-release...
That was a great story, Eric. Thank you very much. So, Jack.
Awesome, yeah. Okay, so, anyways, go ahead.
Hey, if that's what you want to roll, that's fine.
I'm just kidding. Calm down, Mom.
So, my pre-release, I picked up some okay packs. You know, I'm looking at my packs, and it's like, well, it might be something I can make out of this. There's no ultra bombs being cracked out of the rare slot or nothing. But I did get I identify blue as my color to start off with. So I start off and I'm looking. I have double water servant. I have double air servant, and a Triskatillion, which that is a bomb in the rare slot.
Is it Triskalion or Triskatillion?
It is Triskalion. I just can't pronounce it, I think, correctly.
The Triskatillion sounds like some sort of dance that like a 15-year-old Southern belle would go to.
Anyway, so I pull a clone, and I have a little bit of blue card drawn, and as I look through my other colors, there's nothing else really jumping out at me as great. So I decide that I'm going to go mono blue splash white for two flyers, Assault Griffin and Stormfront Pegasus, and red for Lightning Bolt, and then I fill in the rest with Whisper Silk Cloak, a couple Juggernauts, and go that route. And I just get my beat down on with the Whisper Silk Cloak. And the Triskelion is basically a 6-mana fireball that I get to split up amongst his creatures whenever it hits play. I got to clone it a couple times twice, and I went 3-1. And then I had to drop because the family had some stuff planned to do. So I went 3-1, dropped, and I ended up being in 6th place, and just swung by back after the pre-release here and picked up my 3 prize packs. So if we want to steal from limited resources and do crack a pack later, I've got one we can choose from.
Oh, okay. Now, Eric, did you bring your son with you to the pre-release?
I did. It's kind of become our annual tradition that we go to the pre-release or the release together. And now, so I'm sorting my cards up by color, and he's still going through like his first pack. I'm like, but I think we just need to speed this up some. I'll help you start pulling it out. So we start pulling out. He starts sorting the cards a little faster. And in his pile of green, he drops a Garrick Wildspeaker. And I'm like, well, you're going to be playing green.
I imagine you like the crooked dad, like teaching your kid to play poker. No, you don't want to keep 4 cards that are the same. You want all your cards different.
not quite. So he pulls out an overwhelming stampede. I'm like, oh, you're definitely going to be green. And I said, we just need to figure out what other color you're going to be. And then he pulls out a foil overwhelming stampede. And And then we're into like the second to last pack, and he pulls out and puts on his black pile, Liliana Vess. And I'm like, and you'll be black. So he's running the double planeswalker, double overwhelming stampede build here, and he's primarily green with a couple Sylvan Rangers and a few big beefy green guys. And Overwhelming Stampede is a card even a 9-year-old can win with.
Oh wow.
Yeah. He goes ahead and like his first round of the game of the day, he's playing the store owner, Steve at Newcastle, and Steve uses his mana leak on something early. And he's holding Garruk in his hand, and I'm like, oh, there was a mistake. And my son's still not playing Garruk. I'm like, oh, God, you got to play that. You got to play it. But I'm not interfering in his game, and time's going on. He finally lands some other guys and whatever. And apparently Steve had been sitting on Ice Cage and was debating on whether or not to play it and didn't. And then Jared drew Overwhelming Stampede and Overwhelming Stampeded for, like, I don't know, 15, 16 points of damage. And, you know, the game didn't end right then and there, but it ended soon after. After that, though, Steve realized, you know, some of the bombs in the deck, because Jared had also dropped Liliana Vest and been making him discard and stuff. And so he used his counter spells a little more appropriately and managed to keep my son's board clean and took the match. But I'm happy to announce that my son has beat someone in a sanctioned match other than myself. Which he did at the pre-release with no help from me whatsoever. And once again, to Overwhelming Stampede, he was in extra turns. And it's his he has turn one of extra turns, and he rips off the top Overwhelming Stampede. And Overwhelming Stampede's in for 18 points of damage.
I just imagine every time he plays a second Overwhelming Stampede, he'd be like, come on, really, two?
You know, what's funny is everyone's, like, watching, and then they see him play, like, the second Planeswalker. And it's like, seriously?
Again, they're like, come on, two?
Yeah. So he had a really good time.
I think the boy deserves a clap for that. I really do.
Yes.
That's great.
So, yeah.
I'm glad to hear you're not, like, an overwhelming taskmaster, like, for your kid and, like, while he's playing his games. What are you doing? Like throwing like, little beads
after
at him.
His first game, I pointed out a couple things where he could have, you know, done it better or whatever. But he got seated away from me for most of the rest of the day, and it turned out that was really a good thing because he got to go play his matches and whatnot. Now his second round opponent, whose name I don't know, was really cool. The guy in the second round, we were all playing for the Emrakul. The Aeon's Torn game day cards or whatever.
Okay.
That had been had before. So the winner of each match got one. Well, his opponent won the match, but he was like, you know, I have one of these and I don't play it, so you can have it. So, and I mean, that really made his day. I mean, it's a 15 casting cost, 15-15, where you get to take an extra turn with Annihilate, huge number, and I mean, he was really thrilled about that card. So
it sounds like a good time had by all at your M11 pre-release.
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
Let's see. Eric, anything else before we go on to Marcel? It sounds like he also had a fantastic M11 day.
No, I think we should listen to Marcel now.
Because I'm going to sit here and just absorb water through the air, drink water, other things to try to increase my bodily fluids again. So,
Marcel.
Oh, pickle juice is... I can't understand people that drink pickle juice. I don't like pickles. That's the first part that is bad about pickle juice. But then my dad and my sister would just, like, take the bottle, and there's, like, you know, toes and lips and pieces of dirt in there, and they're just like, I love pickle juice. They just drink it right from the jar. That made me want to barf.
So, no, Marcel, was there any pickle juice at your pre-release?
Yeah, I guess there was, all over my sandwiches. I gotta have pickles.
Oh, God.
So what else happened at your pre-release, Mr. Marcel?
Oh, thanks for the segue. Yeah, actually, I went 4-0 my pre-release. It was actually a very good one. I didn't think I did as well, but my deck turned out to be a heavy hitter. People were very impressed with it. I can say the one card that people were most scared of was the Frost Titan. I heard oohs and ahs, you know, from the people around me as I was playing with it. It was actually kind of funny. thinking about the podcast.
Was it ooze or was it booze?
Oh, it was ooze.
Oh, okay.
Applause for the Frost Titan.
One guy.
No, I'm not willing to do that.
He came and gave me a hashtag. Oh, wow, you got a Frost Titan and a Chase. Wow, you're really cool. I was like, thank you.
Thank you. I just opened the packs, really. But, yeah, I appreciate it.
I'll take it. I like my ego strokes, you know. But, yeah, so I had a Jace also. That was good. Had two mind controls, two 4Cs, a bunch of flyers. I had a cancel, an air servant, Azura Drake, a cloud elemental.
Jesus.
Preordained, and the scroll thief. And then I had a white. I had a Sarah Angel, a Stormfront Pegasus, a Rock Egg, a cloud crusader, and then a war priest of the Thune, and a blinding mage. So, I mean, I had a pretty well-rounded deck with a lot of flyers, some control, not too much removal. So I splashed black and got a Doomblade and Assassinate. And also I had the Maze, which was a disappointment.
Oh, Mystifying Maze?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I thought the four costing get, you know, four to activate was going to be a problem, but no, it came through all the time. It won me games where I was getting raced on and slowed it down, and just, it reminded me that Maze of Earth. Yes, I love that card. So I will be playing. I'll be looking to get a place to that as soon as possible. But, yeah, I did pretty good. I lost one game. It was just an impossible game to beat. The guy just had the perfect hand, and I got mana screwed the next one. So I could have, might have went 5-0. I'm not 100% sure. I almost lost one game. The one guy had the green haste trampler, the 8/5 trampler, the mythic.
Yeah, that's revenge.
Oh, yeah. It can't be targeted. It has troll shroud on it.
Oh, yeah, it was not cool. Oh, yeah, the effigy, the brittle effigy, that was another removal I had. And, like, I thought I was going to be able to do something with that. It's just like, no, he laughed at me as he had that, and then he put his Whisper Silk Cloak on it, and I was just like, all right, nice combo.
That is just not nice. So did you, like, how many packs did you end up winning then at the end, Marcel?
I got 9, so we almost got, like, a whole box. So okay. We're going to do something with that, just drafting or something. But, it was good. A lot of people had fun. I mean, people like the Titans. Baneslayer, of course. Well, someone got a Baneslayer, and then some other crazy Day of Judgment, and the other Angels. So there's some crazy stuff going around. But people were having fun, and the consensus was, you know, this was a better set than M10. It just seemed like more flavor to it. People liked the Titans, and it felt like it just had a little more new element instead of being like a steel, like, you know, core set. So all in all, I think it was very successful. I'm actually think I'll go back to release or whatnot.
Awesome. And Jack, you are the next one up.
Alrighty, well, guys, I find it interesting that everybody was talking about playing with blue this weekend, and before I go on, I totally second what Marcel said. Everybody at my store just absolutely loved the new set. It's everything that a core set should be, in my opinion. But anyways, so everybody at my store was playing green, it seemed like, and Cultivate was the MVP of the day. I tell you what, it was the duct tape holding everything together for some people. And, I mean, there were just so many tricks with that card, and I especially talked about it on my Tumblr earlier this week. But, like, we had one guy that actually was not playing green, and that was quite interesting because he's a local player. His name's Brendan Adams, and he cracked open all his packs, and the guy just pulled sick stuff all around the table. I can't remember what all he had, but he had something like 4 or 5 lightning bolts and just other really good stuff. And he looks at me and he goes, Jack, what do you think are the weakest pulls right here? And I looked down and I said, well, I think blue and red are your weakest pulls. And he goes, okay. So he builds a deck with those just to give himself a little bit of a challenge. And that, ladies and gentlemen, takes great big brass balls, I think. And that was perfect. As far as myself, though, I pulled a Inferno Titan and a Sun Titan. And I got to say, I like the art on the promo Sun Titan a lot better than the art on the regular Sun Titan. I don't know. The regular Sun Titan just kind of looks like a normal human being for some reason. Anyways, I managed to crack those and still lose. I didn't do very well all day, and a lot of it had to do with my own play mistakes, such as laying Sun Titan when somebody had a fully charged Chandra across the table. Yeah, that was a little bit of a bad idea. What was bad is I laid that out, and I got a Chandra Spitfire, right? Which was a much better card than I thought it was going to be.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited to hear about this.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, this is great. I'm going to win this game. Yeah. And the guy looks at me, and he just blinks his eyes, and he goes, okay, is it my turn? And I said, yeah, take your turn. Yeah, while you got one. Well, then he blows up Chandra and kills my Sun Titan and deals me 8 damage, and yeah, that wasn't too good. But anyways, other than that, though, like, everybody just had a fabulous release. Like, it was great. This is probably the most fun I've had with a core set in a while, actually. I can't even remember the last time I was this excited about drafting the core set. So, yeah, I had a great time.
Now, what did you guys, and for I wanted to go to the M11 pre-release. Steve actually went on Saturday to one of our local stores. I went to two consecutive bachelor parties. I would recommend not ever doing that again.
It was a test of your manhood, I believe.
It was just masochistic, basically. To feel that crappy for like 48 hours, you're just like, I don't want to do that again. So that's why I'm living very vicariously through you guys. How about your pre-releases? For you guys in general, did you like having all these planeswalkers running around at a pre-release? Did you feel like it would made a little swingy? Like, what did you feel?
Honestly,
Mythics are. I mean, that's the nature of Mythics now, is that, you know, when they're open and limited, they tend to be swingy. But, before you had rares that filled that same category of super swinginess. And it's something you can't really take out of limited. The thing that I wonder about is, you know, is six packs just too much for a sealed deck? You know, because you get a lot of product to sort through with six packs, and you can usually construct a deck, you know, a really good deck out of like two of your colors, and like another good deck out of two other colors you have. So, you know, it seems to me that six packs seems to be a pretty high number to construct out of.
Isn't it the same as the tournament packs? The tournament packs, wasn't it like 45 cards and then you get three booster packs with it?
For pre-releases, yes, but other sealed decks, no. They used to be tournament pack and then one and two more booster packs was the standard. Okay. And then for small pre-releases, they would do the tournament pack and three booster packs because at the smaller pre-releases, they wanted to give you at least as much small set product as large set product.
That makes sense. Okay, I didn't know that. I think it's not too bad. I don't mind the six packs because I like pulling big, better cards, you know. And I just feel you get a better chance to round out your decks a little more because I had like two colors that were completely not playable, so I was lucky enough to pull out some cards.
Well, I agree with Eric. Like, I mean, but limited's always kind of been about like who can pull the big swingy bomb rare, in my opinion. I mean, there's still plenty of strategy elsewhere, though. I mean, like, just as many times as my Inferno Titan won me the game, top decking a fireball and tapping out and killing my opponent with it did too. I disagree with you, though, about like the six packs, though. I think like six packs is enough to make a coherent deck. I really do. And I think it results in more stable decks for people, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have told me. I think I'm really going to go check out the release tournaments when they come out. Because M11 sounds like a blast to play.
Oh, yes, it was great, Tom. You ought to get out.
Because to me, that really kind of harkens back to the original days of Magic where you got a big, you know, then it would be Shyvan Dragon or Demonic Hordes. Now you get a Inferno Titan or a Sun Titan or something like that. And that just makes for cool games. You're attacking with big dudes and hitting them in the face.
Well, without a doubt, it's probably the closest core set to Alpha and Beta that they've released yet. with M10 definitely trying to push that direction, M11 just knocked it out of the park. But, you know, there is another reason to go to the M11 release and launch parties. Wizards of the Coast has pledged to donate up to $22,000 to Penny Arcade's Child's Play organization in honor of the Magic 2011 launch parties. And that is going to be contingent upon people's attendance at the release party. So they have some specific numbers that they have set up in their announcement. And if we get enough people going, they'll be pledging that full $22,000 of support to Penny Arcade's Child Play program. So it's definitely a worthy cause.
Yeah, I mean, that Child's Play has raised like just a silly amount of money in the years it's been around, like $6, $7 million total. Just insane.
Yeah, the work Gabe and Tycho put into it is really amazing.
Yeah. And then, you know, for people that maybe didn't make it to the M11 pre-releases, want to prepare for the release events, Wizards of the Coast has up the M11 videos to learn more about the different card mechanics. We have the full visual spoiler up on the Wizards of the Coast site, so you can actually go see what a Frost Titan looks like before you laugh at it. You can at least see what the art looks like on it.
And it is laughable.
It's all the Titans are a little kind of wonky. They all look like something out of Percy Jackson and the Olympian King Gods of Fire, whatever the name of that movie was. They all look a little generic, but they're cool cards.
Papa Smurf on steroids. That's all
I'm saying. With like a battle axe. Now, did any of you guys see these special promotional posters that were kind of going around at certain select pre-release sites?
Nah, not that special.
Did you get to see one?
No.
So I just want to know what people...
I think it had to be the large pre-releases or whatever that they're giving them out.
Yeah, with Chicago, Seattle, Minneapolis, Washington, Kansas City, Denver, and Houston. And Calgary, Alberta. And this was just a kind of a big poster that featured the art from Vengeful Archon. And they said there's only going to be 1,500 of these made total. It looks cool. I just didn't know, do people really care about posters as much?
Wait, it had a giant picture of Vengeful Archon?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, we had one on our front door, believe it or not.
Okay.
Was it the angel, right?
Yeah, it's like a lion with wings on it. Then there's a little kind of, looks like a suit of armor without a face on it, riding on top of that.
Oh, no. I must be thinking of a different one then, yeah.
I just want to see if anybody had seen these, and do people care about posters, or would you rather just have a promo card? If you're only going to make, I guess, but 15, if you made 1,500 one promo card, that'd be like printing $100 bills, and people would fight over them.
Everyone loves promo cards.
They do, and I've never seen anybody like shanked in a pre-release event, but that would probably start one.
Tom, I can play with cards. I can't play with a poster.
Exactly, so at least make it a play mat, I guess, but I am nitpicking. Eric, what else do we have on here for M11? Oh,
I
wait, did you guys see the
swag, no matter what form it's in? Send swag to me.
All right. So now, have any of you guys seen the M11 deck inserts that are going to be coming up?
Oh, I've seen the with the poison counters on it.
Yes, this has me very, very excited.
Yes, indeed, I love it.
So what this is kind of what Marcel is referring to is on the M11 deck inserts. I'm actually going to pull up the scan of this because that is what really makes the thing is. On the cards for this, it's the how to play, and it says getting started, object of the game, reduce your opponent's life total to zero before your opponent does the same to you, exclamation point. You can also win if your opponent has 10 points or counters or muster a card when none are left in the library. There's already rumblings before about poison making a big comeback in Scars of Mirrodin. Given this, that they're now reminding us that these exist and how it affects the game, this is really suggesting that we're going to be seeing poison in Scars of Mirrodin.
Also that, and the tagline for Scars of Mirrodin is, and the corrosion begins.
Yes.
That's going to be beautiful. Like, with a nuclear waste or something, metal has, like, radiation
we've
or something.
We've had Fallout 3 and the Book of Eli, so it's time to get even more apocalyptic wastelands going, I think.
That's a very popular thing to do right now.
Hey, the swamps in Mirrodin before, the dross stuff were already kind of acidic and corrosive, so... Just expand that out.
And I put this on the show notes in big exclamation points, design space alert. And this was rumbling on the MTG Salvation forums about, given that Wizards of the Coast, the R&D team, has really been kind of opening the box for their design decisions, do you feel like this might be the time that we're going to see poison used as a potentially additional cost for very powerful spells? Like, wow, if I pay a red and I get a poison counter and I do 4 damage, I'm just making up an example.
That'd be very flavorful, I think. It'd be nice because I've heard, like magic where it takes a lot out of your essence or it drains you or something. So you could kind of say that's kind of the same way as poisoning your body by casting this spell. If you do a really big one or an alternate one, I think it'd be a nice flavor to it.
Ooh.
Makes me feel like...
Go ahead,
Jack.
No, I'm talking over you this entire episode. Go ahead.
reminds me of the Robert Jordan Wheel of Time cycle where the men who channel the one power get corrupted by the taint or whatever, and it kind of damages their psyche.
So, Eric, the number of men that have been corrupted by the taint, it's a lot.
Almost the entire world, really.
Walk right into it every single time.
Boy, it sounds like I'm talking about Lord of the Rings meets a strip club here. I'm confused.
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, what I was going to say is it would be cool if they had, like, a magical race that kind of, like, I don't know, maybe they cultivated poison, like the spore counters, like the fungus. And then they could use those poison counters to do something, but at the same time, like, make it where you're maybe taking damage from poison or something like that. I don't know. It'd be cool, I think.
Well, that'd be a cool sort of gameplay mechanic, though, where if you had creatures or a sub-theme where they could actually use poison counters that you have on yourself,
yeah.
That maybe like, well, remove 8 poison counters and you get this huge effect. Because you're gambling that if you're living with 8 poison counters, that you could easily get 2 more and you lose the game.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, like, I could see it maybe happening with... Like, let's say there's elves and Scars of Mirrodin, hypothetically, and they've had to do all this crazy stuff to, like, survive this wasteland they're living in. It would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, you could have, like, say, artifact creatures that are, you know, radiation, where you have them every turn of play, you get a poison counter. So you got to work on a way, you know, it gives you that tension where you got to get rid of the artifact in time before it kills you. Or something.
Like a time bomb, almost.
Yeah, in a way.
Yes, and I think...
Go ahead and take... poison counters from your opponent to cast a spell to do something.
Oh,
that'd be another way to kind of benefit from them having poison. Like, oh, like instead of paying 6 mana, I can spend 2 and use 2 of my opponent's poison counters.
Yeah.
I don't think they were called spell shapers, the ones where you could, you know, put cards from their graveyard on top of their library to get a very powerful ability.
Oh, from the Odyssey block.
Exactly. Kind of the same thing where you're giving them extra resources to get a powerful ability for yourself.
I like it. Design space more is better for the game.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I guess I could see some new players getting a little upset about yet another alternative win condition. But anybody that's played around the time when we had Marsh Vipers and Swamp Mosquitoes and stuff, they're just going to be excited to have poison back in a usable form.
Yeah, we had it at Time Spiral, actually. My brother built a deck that was crazy with the slivers. I mean, he'd have you poisoned out by turn 4 or 5, really. So, I mean, it's been around.
I think I've actually played against that deck, Marcel.
Oh, yeah, it's nasty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I, myself, as a Magic player, I love alternate win conditions and trying to figure out, like, the cheese stands alone or, you know, the different things. So I always try to build a deck to go around that so I can see, like, you know, casual players really embracing it.
Now,
you know, besides poison counters, the something else that was on the inserts for the M11 cards or whatever was advertisements for Disney's The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, it was right on the deck inserts?
Yeah, and I mean, people were like, well, this is the first time Wizards has put in a non-Wizards, you know, or non-magic-related thing in advertising.
Thank God. Nicolas Cage needs the money, so help the guy out. You know, throw him a bone.
Yeah, not so much. apparently, magic makes an appearance in The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
yes, that is officially known now.
Yeah. my understanding is that there are... the characters stand among some of the giant, like, Planeswalker cutouts, although I haven't seen the movie myself.
Oh, God, that sounds dumb. Oh, it's so dumb, I just passed gas.
Oh.
And next we're going to have Nicolas Cage talking about harvesting mana from tapping cardboard.
Well, maybe this actually might be a good thing, is like he got really into collecting combos. Maybe he'll get really into magic cards and kind of bolster the magic economy.
Well, you guys know that they're actually making a magic movie, right?
Well, we heard rumblings about this for a while. I'll believe it when I see it in the theater.
Does this mean perhaps that Disney has a hand in the creation of it?
Yeah. That's actually not a bad point.
Yeah, especially since they make some of the like greatest horror movies and other films of all sorts under different assumed names. You know, it wouldn't be that far of a stretch.
Yeah, Bambi, all-time best horror movie of all time. Right?
I think we know who actually has the rights. It's the same folks who have the rights for some of Hasbro's other properties, like Transformers. So what was the studio that put out Transformers?
Oh, God, I don't know. Why do you put me on the spot like that?
I'm looking it up right now, Eric, because I should know this.
Tom is the movie man. He should be able to answer this one. So.
Yeah, my memory has been scarred and actually damaged by Transformers 2 when they had the two like Ebonics like ice cream van bots that they had.
That
was
terrible.
Terrible movie. Just painful.
I actually thought they were making fun of rednecks in that, and I was like, no.
No, the one had like a gold tooth and stuff. You're like, really? Really? made it through this number of people to get out there? I'm like, I can't. You think somebody would have been like, that's offensive. Yeah, God, you're right. DreamWorks was the company that made Transformers.
In relation to the fact that they have the movie with the promos in it or whatever. Wizards has announced a share magic with your friends contest, right? So you need to build a deck with just M11 cards, and it needs to be themed around a planeswalker. And you need to get your entries in by July 14th. Oh my God,
I believe it's the 12th.
July 12th by 11:59. Yeah,
that's right. You have until tomorrow, 5 minutes after this recording goes up.
Oh God, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Basically, if you listen tomorrow, yeah, good luck.
Well, that pretty much tanks my ability to enter.
That's really short.
Yeah, I've got
at least July 7th. So yeah.
Yeah. Not that mono blue with Jace's ingenuity would be a good idea.
This is going to be 40 Frost Titans, 4 Kraken's Eyes, and 26 Islands. Tom, there's no Jace's in there. Fuck you, Frost Titans, just as good as a Planeswalker.
The Jace in my mind.
He is Jace. This is Jace the Mind Sculptor's Frost Titan.
I'm just going to type in my son's sealed deck and submit it.
But it's a pretty cool prize that you can win. It says they're going to be giving... 5 winners will receive a draft set for 8 friends, including a display, 36 boosters of M11, 8 alternate art Jace Beleriand promo cards, and 16 movie tickets for them to go see a movie they probably already saw. So that's kind of janky, but who the hell's going to take 16 friends to a movie? Like, hopefully your family has a school bus to drive. I mean,
you're going to give them out at the shop where you draft.
Oh, okay.
And there's also the occasion that, you know, maybe people have other vehicles and they can drive in these other vehicles.
I don't know what land of milk and honey you live in, Jack.
Here in North Carolina, we don't care about the environment, apparently.
I'm so poor, I have to pull myself in a rickshaw. That's how poor I am. I have to take turns riding in it till it slows down and stops, and I get up and pull it for a while until it's getting some speed up, jump back in it.
Did you find the movie?
DreamWorks is who made Transformers.
Yes.
DreamWorks. So.
Should be a fun contest. I actually got 5 decks already made, went around each planeswalker, so see how people do it.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a pretty low barrier to entry as long as you knew about the contest in time. That's the only thing where it feels like they're kind of giving you really a week is kind of not a whole lot of time. It's probably, unfortunately, it's because Wizard Apprentice probably came out so close to the M11 release, same weekend.
I think it's probably because they don't want to comb through 2 billion deck lists. They just want to comb through 1 million.
Or I guess Wizard Apprentice comes out this upcoming week. So I guess it really was about a week in advance. What else do we have on here, guys? We have our August FNM promo is going to be Kross and Grip, which actually looks really, really sweet.
Ooh, something to pick up from my Warth the Raid Mother deck.
So it's hard not to like that. And I mean, where is the art? I had it up. There we go.
That's good.
And I guess I've always had a soft spot for the split second cards where the art always has the, you know, kind of the line going down the middle denoting the split second nature of the spells. I thought those have always looked really cool.
I love split second as a mechanic itself. I can understand people being upset with it, but it was beautiful.
And it's going to come out just in time for it to rotate out of extended and not be able to deal with Scars of Meriden.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of like their recent behavior, though, Eric?
Yes.
I mean, if Wizard wasn't disappointing us just a little bit with their promo cards, wouldn't something be up?
And again, we're complaining about free stuff.
Attendance.
Yes. Complain about free stuff some more. All right, Eric.
Hey, we're Magic
Slayer promos.
What we do is we complain.
We do. We have Excel at it.
And you know what, Tom? If we hadn't complained, imagine how crappy the core set would have been, huh? I mean, because we bitched and moaned for a year and a half, we finally got Mana Leak back.
Ooh, yeah,
imagine what else we can do.
I'm trying to think, what would be the next card that we should really champion to get back in?
Swords of Plowshares.
That's a good one. I like Desert. Desert I've always loved.
No, I think we need to unrestrict Lotus Petal and reprint the hell out of it.
Just so everybody has like 800 of them to play in every single deck?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't?
I have like 10 of them, because if you played then, you had so many Lotus Petals, they were everywhere. And yeah, then when I learned they're worth a couple of dollars a piece, you're like, really?
What's this newsletter you have on here?
This is something I just got an email over this past week. Is Evan Irwin with Star City Games sent out their first ever Star City Games newsletter. It's kind of like a newsletter you get from any other shop or business online that loads up in your email, but looks like a web page almost. And there's a couple of coupons. One, you get a bonus 30% for trading in cards at a booth, at a Star City Games booth. And also a coupon, you get a free six-sided die if you bring the coupon to one of their booths. And they also talk about some different contests and things that they're going to be doing.
Can you forward that to me?
I sure can.
So I would love to get my free six-sided die.
Yeah, actually, if for any listeners, if you want me to, if you didn't get this newsletter, if you want it, email me pitimp@mtgcast.com. I will gladly forward it to you. I want them to give away like 10,000 of these little dice, and then they can blame me.
If you go up to get it, say Tom sent me.
Yeah, please say that. Actually, say Tom said to give me my die. Die.
Yeah.
Give him a nudge and a wink.
Let's see, the effectiveness project, Eric, I'm already bored by this news item. What is this about?
This is actually pretty cool. Alexander Shearer wants to, he's, I don't know, some data kind of guy over at Channel Fireball.
I'm still bored, okay.
Well, what he wants to do is he's trying to get folks to come back and give him feedback on his article. The link will be in the show notes. But also, his project here is to try to get interview questions, kind of a bunch of these interview questions, out to folks who are highly successful in magic to kind of narrow down some of the different qualities that make an effective magic player. He has a bunch of different questions listed out in his article that he's encouraging people to use, like what's your ideal tournament experience, what's your typical tournament experience, what's the best deck experience you've had, what's the worst, what's the best play you've ever made, do you think of it on the spot, do something you consider in advance, how you prepare for a tournament, do you prepare, and it goes down the list of different things he's talking about. And he'd like your feedback on what kinds of questions he ought to ask. And through the answers, then you're going to start to narrow down what areas you should be looking at. Kind of going into it with, like, no preconceived notions. And it seems like a really interesting project and something I found interesting. So I'm getting the word out.
Yeah, I guess for me, this is one of those projects that's not made for me where I guess I don't really care as a casual player.
Well, but Tom, here's where you could have a role in this.
I just answer I don't care to all these questions and give that to him as feedback?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. You interview people, sometimes highly successful magic players. If you include some of these questions in your interviews, you've let people who do care about this be able to extract data from the interviews that you've done.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll take that.
Eric wants you to be a spy, basically.
Well, I mean, I'm going to try to incorporate these into the interviews that I do. And hopefully, Alexander, gets to hear that I'm doing this, and then he'll promote my stuff on his thing for people to listen to what I say and the answers I get and promote me in his article as well. So, I'm all about you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
Yes, while wearing a shoe cam.
Tom, something I think will get your interest is, do you like Zelda?
Are we referring to the Nintendo franchise?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I do like Zelda in general.
Do you like Magic?
I do like Magic.
What if we were to add these two things together?
You would get some of the coolest cars ever created.
I think Marcel is correct. BDM tweeted earlier this week about a guy who put together like a 100-card Zelda expansion for Magic, and if you're a fan of Zelda, you should definitely go and look some of these cards up.
Yeah, Bubbles, Dark Nut. Oh God, this is awesome.
Of course, Kyle will focus on the Dark Nut.
It's Tom.
There's a gel, which is a creature ooze. One black. So it's a Swamp Walk. 1/1.
Oh, he's like a kid in a candy store right now.
This is phenomenal.
So basically, these are cards. All the creatures from Zelda they are in cards, and all the abilities work very well with what the creatures would do if you know the game itself. Like the ghost is a during your upkeep, put a 1/1 indestructible black spirit token into the battlefield, and when the ghost leaves the battlefield, exile spirit tokens. So it feels very much like the game Zelda would. So whoever did this, you did a great job. I like the cards.
They have the likes, which is like the little sponge thing that would hop on you and eat your shield. It's a 2 black, 2 colors. It's a 0/3. Again, an ooze. This guy is amazing. Defender, but it basically exiles equipment. So, yeah, this is really well done. And it uses basically screen captures from the original 8-bit Zelda. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. So anyway, this is one of the things. As soon as I saw this, Tom, I thought of you.
Oh, this is phenomenal.
And then bookmarking this.
As soon as I saw the next one, I thought of Jack. Because it seems kind of like the masochistic kind of thing that Jack would try to institute somewhere that they had
used
to
be in. I will have you know that I've been.
I just read the comic. It's pretty funny.
No, go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and say it.
Over at Mana Nation, they have a couple comic series, and one is XMTG, which, truthfully, I don't generally pay much attention to. But this week's Magic Weight Loss comic, absolutely comedy gold. You need to come check it out. On their site to get the full thing. The little diagram is set up great. So how Magic players can lose weight. Place a table between two treadmills. Find a willing opponent. Play control mirror match while using the treadmill. For added difficulty, increase treadmill speed for each point of life lost by either player. Add a state-based action that a player loses the game if they fall off the treadmill or turn it off.
Well done. That is nice.
Okay, now, I'm going to defend myself and say this isn't like something I would institute because I would make it a fog mirror match, my dear man.
Oh, God. Should it be a Scheherazade, like, forked twin cast game? You also can't wear shoes, so your feet are bleeding by the end of this.
Tom, you're just...
The game isn't timed.
No, of course not.
It's perfect.
It'd be better if you made this like a pre-release, where like, while you're making your deck and sorting your cards, you got to be running on a treadmill. And
so, you know, this is something Tom can get behind because Tom's actually like in shape.
I have been improving. Have I told you guys the story about why I decided to lose weight?
No.
How this all came about? So, when I went into after medical school, I started my residency, which is where most people want to drive their car off of a bridge, you know, just to make the pain end. But so in order to keep yourself going when you're on call so much, you just eat for comfort, or at least that's what I did. It was chicken wings, ice cream sandwiches, those little malt cups that you get at baseball games. They come with a wooden spoon. Those kept me going. But they also kept my weight going up by about 60-some pounds over a couple of years. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, sustainable. But yeah. Maybe, I mean, like all of us, like, you know you've gained weight because you have to buy bigger pants, but it's not like you look at yourself and be like, oh my God, I'm so fat. It just kind of slowly happens over time. So, and at my clinic, I took care of all of our people with Axis 1 mental health issues like schizophrenia and things like this. And a lot of times they don't have that little filter that would make a normal person say, I shouldn't tell my doctor that he's really obese today. They don't have that filter. And I'm counseling them on their obesity because a lot of these meds, weight loss is a big problem with them. I'm like, you know, weight's one of your big issues. You need to work on this. They're like, well, you're fat too. You're obese. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of mad, but I calculated my own, you know, BMI at the end of the thing. I'm like, God, he's right. I'm obese. And I was so incredibly angry at myself that day. It was one of those things like, today it stops, and now I'm back down to where I should be. Thank God.
Good man.
It only took a crazy person to yell at me and call me fat.
Clap, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This was from the same guy when I saw him in the hospital to my staff physician I was working with. We have name tags that says our name on that would, like, mine would say, you know, Tom Gustafson. You walk in, you'd never met this guy before. He's just like, oh, his name was Tim. He's like, oh, Tim, I once knew a rapist named Tim. First thing out of his mouth, I'm like, this comedy, he's awesome. This guy's great. And he looked like Santa. He had like a big white bushy beard. Story time's over, Eric. You can relax.
That just like kills my childhood. Thank you, Tom.
So that'll be my weight loss program. I'll just hire a crazy guy to come around and call people fat. Oh, Wesley Willis called me fat.
Oh, man. So a couple quick hits. The events for Pro Tour Amsterdam have been released by Wizards. Link in the show notes to go check them out. And then Muldrifting reports on her blog that how to Magic Workstation patch for M11. So there's that out there for all you workstation folks. And then the last quick hit is that I, me, Eric, will be hosting on GG's Live, the broadcast of Star City Games Open in Denver.
When did you become the magic pimp?
I swear, you're on every freaking podcast I listen to now. Like, one day I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, I'll go listen to MDGcast. Oh, there's Tom and Eric. And, you know, an hour or so later, I turn on a different one. Oh, wow, there's Eric again. An hour or so later, oh, wow, why is Eric on here?
It could be like in L'Oreal ads, like next to Queen Latifah, and then on supermarket ads in Germany.
You make more appearances than Bruce Campbell.
You know, it's completely related to the fact that my family was out of town for 2 weeks, and I had the free time to actually sit down and cast with people. And in the Manipool, I kind of have a standing invitation for. But
that's just how important I am.
The MTG Radio guys, I had emailed them back when I made my Karn Silver Golem EDH deck, and they lost the email, so they had meant to reply. And so when they replied back, they're like, and if you want to come on sometime, that'd be great. So I was like, yeah, you know, I have a little bit of time this week. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, definitely.
Oh, yeah, we didn't actually mean that invitation. We're just trying to be nice.
So they had me on, like, right before I recorded Monday Night Net Magic with Tom.
So how are you going to be now on a live broadcast in Denver when you don't live in Denver?
So, Rashad Miller.
Oh, God. Oh, God. There's the hole's been found.
So, Rashad Miller, who's in charge of GG's Live. See, Nationals, as Conley would be happy to point out, is happening at the exact same time as the StarCityGames.com Open in Denver. Apparently, most people want to go to Nationals. So, Rashad was having a difficult time finding a co-host. And since he met me at the StarCityGames.com Open in St. Louis, he Facebooked me and was like, Eric, would you be interested in going? And so I'm going to be flown out and doing coverage and stuff.
Well, like on their dime?
Yeah.
Wow, very nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
Eric becomes a trending tweet, and suddenly he's just flying all over the world, and he's going to forget us, boys. That's what's going to happen.
I know.
Just
I'm really,
like Gavin, yep.
Frankly, I'm pissed, yes.
I am not going to forget you guys. Don't worry. Have I ever not pimped out anything I've been a part of?
You know, Eric,
I don't know, because if you haven't pimped it, I won't know it exists.
Eric, I can honestly stand behind you as a suitable replacement for Billy Mays. No, you pimp everything out, so I concede to that argument.
So I won't forget you, even if I start big timing you, I won't forget you.
Uh-huh. Remember the little guys.
I'm impressed, Eric. Is there anything else, Eric? Are you going to be doing anything else over the next couple weeks?
Not magic related that I'm aware of.
Okay. Let's see. Well, that's just crazy news, actually. I was reading this. At first I was like, Eric, who? I'm like, if it's our Eric, I'm just going to be flabbergasted. And I became flabbergasted.
My work here is complete.
So, how many, are you there for a few days? Like, I guess I've never watched GS Live, so I'm not sure exactly how their coverage works. Maybe it might be helpful for listeners who haven't maybe watched as much before to know a little more about it.
Yeah, first of all, GG's Live is live streaming coverage, generally starting from like round two or three of whatever event they're covering. And you get to see whatever feature matches they have. And it's played out right there, and they have some people commentating on what's happening. And usually it's people a little more knowledgeable than me. And so they'll bring in some local folks to talk about stuff, or they'll bring in some pros to talk about the game state and what's going on and chit chat. And, you know, it's broadcasting live, you know, a game of Magic, and it goes on for the entire time. So, you know, like I will be, you know, they go, the tournaments generally go from like, I guess the broadcasts probably go from about 10 or 11 a.m. local time to 11 p.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. or a.m. the next day local time coverage of the games in the top eight and all that kind of stuff. So you just see Magic going nonstop the entire time. And you know, they need some talking heads to come in and fill in some stuff. That's what I'll be doing. So I'm going to go to Denver, a city I've never been to, and what I'm going to see is the airport, my hotel, a convention center with lots of magic being played, some place to eat, and then that would be it. Because I don't have a lot of time to take off of work, so I'll see what time I get. I'm going to fly out of St. Louis sometime on Friday, and I'll be flying into St. Louis sometime after the Games of Magic stop on Sunday night. So either Sunday night or Monday morning, I'll be flying in. So,
all right. Well, I mean, it's cool to know, so that way all the MTGcast listeners can make sure to watch it for you on there.
Yeah, so it's the same week as Nationals. GG's Live will actually be having two streams going. They'll be having one for Nationals.
Don't cross the streams, Eric. Don't cross the streams.
And they'll be having one for the Open Series in Denver as well. And I believe those are going to be August 21st and 22nd.
Very cool. Now, is this something, do you think you can continue to do this in the future, maybe?
That would be pushing it. As it is, we were fortunate enough that we didn't have a lot going on with the kids that weekend. So I'm already stretched pretty thin in my vacation time normally. So hence the reason why my family stays on vacation longer than I do.
Ah, good point. Yes.
So it's a matter of I don't know that I could do it with great regularity, but I'm great that I'm on their emergency contact list. Once or twice a year would be awesome.
Well, very cool. Well, congratulations again, Eric.
Thank you. And make sure you check out GG's Live and their coverage. I mean, they do a really good job. If you like to watch the Pro Tour videos of the matches being played, or you just like to watch Magic being played, you want to put it on while you're cleaning around the house or whatever while your computer's there, it's great stuff.
Very cool. Well, kind of mentioning kind of cool feedback is, let's go to our emails. Do you guys have any emails before I go through our usual list?
Yes. Actually, I got a really cool email. The last time I was on the show, I mentioned a little place called Half Price Hobbies.
Oh, I got carbon copied on this.
Oh, yeah. Apparently they thought I was really, really cool or whatever, and I mentioned them on the cast, and they sent me an email saying that they actually wrote it down in their wedding book the day I mentioned their show. So, go Half Price Hobbies. You guys are awesome.
Yes, I think this may be one of the first times a Magic podcast has been memorialized in a wedding book. 2-3 thumbs up for that one. Be like, think about me on your wedding night, says Jack.
Well, I'd like to think that all people do, really, Tom.
How about for you, newly found Magic fame, Eric?
Yes, actually, I've started to gather in some feedback. It's kind of scary. Let's see. There was the guy who asked us about Conley's videos, and
we got many answers about that.
Yeah. So apparently, there's some settings you can set somewhere. Enjoy. that's about what I got out of it. Joey emailed me about my Ulshat the Hateseed deck, and
Okay, Eric, we got some feedback about you just talking about your deck. Yeah, it was
the Hateseed,
not Ulshat. Yeah. Which does sound funny. I like Ulshat better because it sounds cooler. But
so he likes using Earthcraft to kind of go infinite on the Sporlings and stuff, and uses Dragon Brewmother, and he has altered an art for his Ulasht, and so that was pretty cool to see. And Dan from the prototype, and now also from 5cc, was hoping to get me to pimp out pimp on his podcast some. So you should listen to the prototype. They go through some walkthroughs of their live gameplay that they do on Magic Workstation. And the people we find on Magic Workstation, I'm not talking about Daniel and the guys he's working with there, but their opponents, are the classic disconnectors and stuff. And they play games out. It's really fun to kind of listen to them. And 5cc is yet another news show. So, go check out their opinions on things. What else?
And Eric, I was just going to point out, I found the settings to change on if you want to make your videos look more, or make your desktop look more like LSVs. This is under the settings tab. There's a setting, you can change it from big cards to compact. I guess that's how you get that slightly different look to it.
Okay.
So thank you, Todd, on the MTGcast comments.
So then I've got another one that you've got in there with,
I didn't want to go back there. Where am I? My emails, I lost it. Jason talking about manga, you know, as a correction, and a bunch of other information as well. Jason has a very huge email, and I thank Jason very much for the feedback. And then Will Banks sent an email in where he was talking about he really loved our discussion on the Jace versus Chandra manga art. That he said that Evan Irwin, apparently his Facebook comments contain basically two types of comments. One, I love this product and will take it to international waters so that I may marry it. And two, I hate this product and wish to fire it out of a cannon into the sun.
It was pretty funny.
Well, I do have a comment on this. Like, who drew the art for these cards?
I don't know. Who cares?
Well, the reason I'm asking is this looks a lot like the...
is this like the Rule 34 you got?
Yeah, it looks almost identical to the Rule 34 that I received. I kid you not. Like, I wish I still had the email to share with you, but like, it looks like dead on by the person's style. Creepy.
Well, cool.
Anyways, no, not cool, Eric, but anyway.
any other emails, Eric?
No, that is it, and I think that I'm just gonna release you guys now to just go hog wild and bail on the card on the call. So,
boy, he comes on just to pimp his GGS Live thing, and he's just like,
"Oh yeah, yeah.
See you, peons."
What is this about not forgetting us, Eric? You're already abandoning the call. Just go. Don't even say goodbye.
Dead to me. Yep, dead.
Feel so used.
We used to be so close, Eric. What happened?
We used to be friends.
I added some news. I added some banter. I kept us on topic.
Maybe you did, Eric.
All
but you know
my
what?
Host responsibilities. Now it is time for Tom to sell horse, and then at the end he's going to talk about video games and or B movies. Which,
Eric,
you know,
happened to Rhodes before other things,
huh? I have no idea what you're talking about. You guys are the ones who are just, you know, hating on the Frost Titan.
Just go, Eric. We don't even want to hear from you anymore. Go, sir.
Fine. Be that way.
All right, then. I will. I'll email you later. Fine.
Actually, I won't be on the show next week. You guys will be recording while I'm sweating in a tent somewhere. So,
on purpose, or like you're going to be arrested?
No, on purpose.
Oh, okay. It's going to be one hell of a week, and then I'm going to be in a tent. Stake to a pole, like a Jewel of the Nile.
Like in The Wicker Man.
Yes.
And no, none of that. Just duties I must perform that take me out into the wilderness.
Uh-huh. Circumcisions. I've been there.
Good night, gentlemen.
Okay, see you, Eric.
Good night.
Bye, Eric.
All right, let's go through my emails here. Marcel, did you have any before I go through my litany?
Yeah, I got a couple. I just got a couple from a couple people trying Magic Online for the first time, and positive reviews from them. They like it. And I got another one from someone that talked about their Leviathan deck.
Nice.
I put that
on the Twitter feed, Marcel, that I thought I considered Leviathan the first mythic rare.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I actually went and built another Leviathan deck trying to make it, you know, work. I got it to work, but came to the conclusion I would rather cast an Eldrazi than that guy. I just didn't want to deal with him. So that's the end of Leviathan for me. I can't build a deck. I reached a point in my Magic career where I can't play with that card. I'm beyond that cast.
It's just too crappy.
Leviathan, was that a purposeful fun? Because that was very clever. I said Leviathan. Was that purposeful? Because that was a very clever pun.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. I didn't catch it.
Ooh, your style is so subtle, even you miss it sometimes.
It is excellent. So we'll run through these emails as we're approaching an hour already, so we want to let everybody enjoy the rest of their car rides in absolute silence and road rage. So Michael R., he sent in probably the most disturbing link of the week. He says, people know I love oozes. And he said, this is an ooze meets Rule 34, Jack, so beware. So this would be a not-safe-for-work Google search. So if you put that in, apparently there's a type of fetish called splosh or splooch. Which,
how do you spell that?
I think it was like S-P-L-O-S-H. Or okay. The other says, also known as wet and messy. says, which involves mostly women getting covered in all kinds of slime and ooze. Often it's food or mud, but sometimes it can be just game show style ooze. And he had a link that I did not put in the show notes because it was disturbing.
Hey, there's even paint.
Yes, it is gross. So thank you, Michael. That was the most disturbing link of the week by far. Matt D. recommends that I watch some old-fashioned Mystery Science Theater 3000 and other Netflix streaming to help me fight the monotony of card sorting. And I wanted to admit I was actually watching The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock while sorting my cards.
Was it good?
I've seen that movie about 5 times. I love Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
I would. Like, he's like the one man I would leave my wife for. Like, he'd be Ryan Reynolds.
Well, I think we can also, since this is relevant, ask what the hell Jesse James was thinking when he cheated on Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, oh, she's just cool and, you know, gorgeous, and he's just an idiot.
Did you see what he did it with?
Yeah, the tattooed Nazi lady.
Oh, you know, I really think that's Clinton's fault, though, because when he's, like, bedded Monica Lewinsky, he just lowered the standards across the board.
He just said, if you're going to cheat, go low.
Yeah, Jesse James, it's not like he's a looker either. Kind of looks like if you took Mickey Rourke and let him lose all his muscle mass, you get Jesse James. Let's see. Will B. He agrees that the Eldrazi overall have been kind of not very exciting. And he pointed out something cool about the art for Mass Polymorph. Is that actually, if you look at the art, all the creatures that are kind of running towards you in the picture are all famous creatures that Christopher Moeller, the artist of Mass Polymorph, has done. There's Izumaru, Bringer of the Red Dawn, Pestermite, the Worm Token from Crush of Worms, the new Goblin Lackey art, and he's right. So I thought that was a pretty cool find. Sean S. says, thank you for the awesome show, period. Sean, that is a great email. Thank you.
Love it, love it, love it.
Brad W. recommends we check out Might and Magic Clash of Heroes for the Nintendo DS if you like Puzzle Quest. So I promise I will check that out. Let's see. John writes in, this was a question where I responded to him personally. His question is it acceptable as a Magic player and a human being to make a douchebag move as long as it's within the rules to a player that you feel deserves it?
Yes, absolutely 110%, especially when they don't deserve it, actually. It builds character and it forces them to become a better player, whether they want to or not.
So
being a douchebag, you raise their game.
I also answered yes to this, where I agree where you should be the bigger man and just let it slide off your back. Sometimes you just got to kind of do what you need to do in those sort of situations. You're not punching them, but to make their day a little less fun.
Indeed, indeed, I agree.
I have an actual example here. Do you guys have any examples to share about this?
Well,
I know you, Jack, you've talked a little bit in the past about you had some players kind of come sort of migrate into your FNM that really were not jiving with the overall feeling of FNM.
Yeah, and thankfully, like, our store is a lot better than it used to be, but we've had problems before where just, you know, a lot of people out there think that they can retire playing Magic. I'm sure you guys have encountered this too, where you have those dorks where they're not really good Magic players because all the hell they do is net deck absolutely everything. They don't really even know what they're playing, but a pro played it, so they're going to play the same deck and win and magically get on the pro tour and make thousands of dollars, right? And these guys are insufferable because they are so concerned about winning the game that they forget, you know, at the end of the day, Magic really is just a game. You should just be enjoying yourself primarily. It's relaxation, right? So, yeah, we've had a lot of problems with people like that in the past. But usually word gets around that, hey, this guy's a utter D-bag. Let's just, you know, take care of this. And we either meta-hate him out of the store or we constantly change up our tactics and get it to where the guy basically can't win a game. So he either sells off his deck or he bolts. So, I mean, it's a nice tactic, I must say.
In my personal, this was one of the most recent pre-releases I went with Steve. And to me, I typically view pre-releases as more of a casual format. You know, you're there to check out the new cards and maybe win some packs, but this is not a pro level thing. Put together my deck, you know, when you sit down at your little table, because usually on these huge lunch tables, you have no idea who you're playing a lot of the time. You know, typically the way I do is I say hello and shake their hand and say, my name's Tom. And often this is your first game of the day for pre-release. It's kind of fun to talk about the cards because hopefully you haven't seen these cards before, or at least not the physical cards. And this was the first game of the day. Look at him. He's not smiling. He refuses to shake my hand. I say, hey, my name's Tom. You know, he doesn't shake my hand. He sits down, shuffles his deck. And I said, you know, what do you think of that so far? He says, I don't talk while I play Magic. I'm here to improve my rating.
Well, Jesus.
Okay. And that was it. So, you know, I could have just ignored it. I took it upon myself to let people know that I was the MTG cast guy and that that guy had been a jerk to me. And I pointed him out to the rest of the people for the rest of the day. Because it really annoyed me. It really got under my skin. Because it was a really boring hour of my life just sitting there playing Magic silently.
Oh, God. Okay. I was drafting Unhinged one time, right? And I had something similar happen to me. You know, and these joke sets, folks like to have a good time. And especially even more so since, like, you get to break the rules and, like, land grant where you somehow wind up dancing on tables and singing to people. But anyways, so I was sitting down in front of a guy, and I started playing with him, and I was cracking jokes and trying to get him to laugh, and I just couldn't. And Tom, sure as heck, the guy just the entire time just ignored me and played his cards. Like, if it was possible to play an unhumorous game of an unset, I think this man accomplished it. And that was
he was able to do it.
Accomplished. Yeah. Oh God. And he just like, and he had a flat monotonous voice, so it was just so hard to actually like pay attention to the game state simply because he was boring me to tears.
What about for you, Marcel? Because you tend to play mostly online. Is there any way for you to? I mean, do you have those sort of interactions or a way to sort of try to fight that?
I mean, sometimes. I mean, certain people, I might, you know, IM them or say something. But I do spec. There was one time that at a draft, actual live draft I had, I think it was for M10, the release. This one guy, during the draft, he was calling like, oh, yeah, let's make sure, let's get the colors going this right way. And, like, he was just calling out all these little things people should be doing, like, you know, like someone that actually knew the game. And was like he was informed. And I was like, man, he's just being a douche.
He was saying this to you?
Oh no, to the people at the thing. Like, make sure you signal right. You know, play these colors. You know, you're playing these colors. Make sure you pass it on. I forgot exactly. There's other things he was saying, but it was just like he was saying things that to me, you know, like a someone that knew the game would actually know. And you know, I was figuring he's going to be a hard opponent. So when I played against him, he made this really really dumb play. I think it was like the Predatory Urge. He put on one of his creatures, and then he tapped to target one of my creatures, and it ended up killing his creature. And so he didn't understand the card, and it was the only time I've ever called a judge. And I was like, yeah, I said judge, and the judge pointed out he made the wrong play. He's like, what? I can't take that back. And I didn't let him take it back. Normally, you know, I would let something like that happen, but the way that he was being deduced on the table earlier, I was like, no, it's not going back.
Sweet.
Not at my house, says Marcel.
No. Even though I did feel bad afterwards because I really kind of crushed him after that. He wasn't a good player at all. But it's just like he was just calling the shots and telling people what to do. It was kind of crazy.
Marcel, don't look at it like you crushed his spirits or his dreams or anything like that. Look at it as a learning experience, a way to grow for him. He won't do that in the future, and it's because of you.
Yeah, I could definitely say he won't.
Let's see. Our next email is Eric Y. He had sent in a good observation about the flavor text on M11. For our preview card, Dark Tutelage, we actually had a listener email in saying that there was some historical, actual literature that quote may be based off of. And he also noticed that on the card Diminished, there's a Lewis Carroll quote. Back in the days of Legends, Arabian Nights, there was a ton of flavor text that was from the real world, from Shakespeare, all types of places. And then Wizards really seemed to be made a conscious effort to stop that, because they didn't want the real world in Magic. Magic should be its own fantasy world and product and brand and everything.
Gotta change it.
Exactly. but now all of a sudden it seems like they've had a change of mind. We're getting some real world literature quotes back in the cards based on M11. And he's just wondering why. Because it seemed really strange that they've done a 180 in some ways. Or at least a 90 degree turn.
I guess because it's flavor text, it just gives it more flavor, I guess. I don't mind it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, I like it. I was just interested because Wizards had made a very specific goal of not having real-life quotes in flavor text.
Well, Wizards has a policy of reversing a lot of their decisions. So
that is a good, excellent point, Marcel.
Yeah, this could change. They never retract their statements or anything or admit that certain cards were a bad idea.
That could change for M12 or M11.5. Maybe they'll go through and do an erratic, like an Oracle update, and change the flavor text. That would be cool.
Well, I think flavor text, when it's applicable, is great. Like, there was actually one on the Tezzeret from the Vault's Tinker that was good. Can't remember right off the head, but it was, yeah.
And let's see. Next is Jason's emails us to correct us on the pronunciation of the word manga. So I believe I pronounced it manga, and I was wrong. This was when Eric and I were butting our heads that he was really excited for the manga art style, and I was very, very unexcited for it.
I think it looks good. I love it.
Yeah, this is where people are definitely come on. There is no middle ground where you either love it or hate it. Marcel likes it. I'm on the not-so-hot branch. Where do you end up, Jack, on the manga art style for Magic?
Oh, well, I think it's amazing.
Damn it. Damn it. You had a 50% chance of being right, and you were wrong.
I'm not really a big fan. I mean, you know, it looks great. I'm not much of an anime or a manga person in general, though. I used to read a lot of the old trades, but just, no.
Let's see. Alex is happy to see the return of Tribal Time with Tom, and he would like to see either an insect or a crab or a wall deck. And so now we're here to our dirty Magic card art. This is going to be hopefully be an ongoing little tiny segment on this show. So Zach Gay sends in a dirty Magic card art of a card I had never heard of called Early Frost. And this is from...
Oh, I actually have one of those.
Oh,
wow.
That's good.
This is from 5th Dawn, and it's dirty for two reasons. One, it does have a... the little arch in the middle, the right side of the arch does look very penis-shaped. And it's also covered with all this white stuff. And I'll let you use your imagination for what that might be.
An ice cream cone. Naturally.
Yeah, it's an ice cream cone. My personal favorite, though, is Mike sends in the card Stone Cloaker. Stone Cloaker is from Planar Chaos. And he's right. This actually art did make me laugh when I looked at it.
Wait, Stone Cloaker is the gargoyle, right?
Yeah. If you pull up the art, it looks like the Stone Cloaker is basically grabbing the guy and shoving his head down into his gargoyle groin region. And you can't tell where the gargoyle's right arm is, what exactly it is doing.
Stinky pinky.
Yes, I thought that was a pretty good pick.
Oh, the things I can't unsee.
Yeah, you can't. Once you see that in that art, you can't go back. It will always be that way.
You know, and yet every week I bring myself back to hear this stuff.
Yeah, well, you just got to be like Eric. You just got to cut out about halfway. Let's see, William J., he sent in some B-movie picks with a movie called Slashers, another one called Hunting Humans, and one was Serial Killing 101, starring Thomas Hayden Church, which I thought was pretty awesome. Matt P. has a good, interesting question, but what is your least favorite card of all time? Not your most favorite, what's your least favorite or most hated card?
Jatai.
So Marcel and I are sharing some brave waves today, because that is one of my most annoying, hated cards of all time is the Jatai. It lets colors not do things that they should never be able to do for a very cheap cost.
Yes, I hate that card with a passion. That I say Wildfire and probably Bitter Blossom just because of the deck it entails.
So Wildfire, what makes you... Is this because you don't like losing creatures and lands, or...?
Yeah, well, that's when I first started playing online, and I was very casual, and whoever played that deck, it was just a douchebag deck all the way. Like, I just hated it, because I'd always... No matter how hard I would try to fight against it, I'd always end up losing lands and creatures and coming out the bot. Out losing every time, so I have bad memories of that one. I think it was the Angel Fire deck people kept playing in the casual rooms. So that was another reason too.
Okay. And you mentioned Jatai. Another one that I've always been annoyed by is Psychotalk. I know it's an excellent creature, but when that thing was just running rampant, it was amazingly irritating to play. So Jack, go ahead, Marcel.
Well, I heard that was like the... I wasn't playing at the time with Psychotalk, and I look at it, I don't see it as that good of a card. What about it was like the annoyance factor?
I mean, really, it was annoying just because it was letting you use a resource, which is your graveyard, and this was a little newer at this time at Odyssey, where for no mana, you could make a very large creature. And this was usually used in a control deck where they would play Psychotalk, they have a million and a half counter spells and other control spells to protect it. And eventually they'd have 10, 20 cards in their graveyard, then they would just alpha strike you with it. And it was also the two abilities were very... They had a lot of synergy. You could discard cards, and then you could remove cards in your graveyard. And you combine this along the same time with Circular Logic and all these other irritating cards. It was just it was a good deck, but it was annoying to play against. And Psychotalk was the engine of that deck.
So that's your bad memory.
Yeah, it was just annoying to... It's like, oh, you see a island in a swamp, you're like, I know what deck you're playing. There's the Psychotalk. Okay, cool. What about for you, Jack?
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and get the hate mail rolling and say my most hated card of all time is going to be Jace the Mind Sculptor. And my reasoning for this is this card has gone and created a power level for cards that, I mean, I doubt anything else is probably ever going to be as good as that card in terms of what it can do and the versatility of it. And the problem is, Jace the Mind Sculptor has made it to where, like, I mean, this thing's played in every format. That's ridiculous. It's created a glass ceiling in Standard where if you don't have Jace and Vengevine, you're not going to be able to play. It's mandatory in some of the decks that people are playing in Legacy, like Tendrils, and it's just, it's ridiculous. I hate that this card was ever printed, because it is just totally warped so many factors in so many decks, and it's stupid, and it makes me angry, and I don't own any, so that makes me especially angry.
I think that's a valid reason to not like a card.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, even though I do have a playset, and I love playing with Jace, I can see exactly, it's kind of like the Jedi or whatever, kind of warps the format.
That's my point. Like, I mean, and regardless of whether or not I know people are going to argue with me about Jace being fair and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's not a totally crazy card, but look at it like this. Does a card really have to be broken to warp a format? Because you don't have a choice on Standard. You have to play with Jace, or you have to play with Vengevine. And sometimes both. I mean, if you want to have a successful deck in Standard, I mean a really successful, win a great deal of the time deck, you have to play Jace. You don't have a choice. I hate cards that create those sort of situations for players because it's not fair. It doesn't encourage creativity on the player's part. It doesn't encourage any kind of growth in the metagame. Even though I will say that the metagame is very healthy right now in Standard, it's just bad. It's not a... The card has done a lot more harm for its respective formats than it has helped.
And mine did cost $80 in Standard. Which has definitely set a new ceiling on cars. Like, we haven't seen. I believe even Tarmogoyf was even that high when it was out there. So
Tarmogoyf at the most, I think, when it was in Standard, was like $40. I mean, even back then, I would balk at that card. But you know, you could concede to $40. Like, I mean, but you know, at $80, I'm thinking of all the other things I have to purchase. I'm thinking of the textbooks I have to buy for next semester. I'm thinking of just being able to pay for next semester.
Food for my baby or a Jace.
Yeah, I
mean, Jace is going to go up in value, so
and the kid's just going to be a drain on my
Yeah, that's just kind of so.
And I can actually eat the bait. No, I'm not going to say that sentence, but still, it is ridiculous what that card has done. I really honestly wish they had never printed it. Would I play it if I had a playset? Hell yes, I'd play it, but still, I would bitch about it.
So you, the listeners, email us about what is your least favorite card. I would love to hear what it is and why. So there's probably some really good stories out there. And I think this is something we could revisit on a regular basis for cards that just annoy us. Because there's more than one.
Oh, and Thoughtseize. Thoughtseize is bad.
Let's see. Hymn to Turok. I know it's good, but it just irritates me. See, next we have Todd R. He lets us know that he saw Conley at the M11 pre-release in Los Angeles. He also let us know that Conley did not smell like baby powder.
That's a disappointment, almost.
And then he sent in a picture where he had Photoshopped showing Conley at the gunslinging table holding a bottle of baby powder, which I thought was pretty funny. see, Eduardo T. actually is a great email. This is at magicleague.com, which has kind of been the unofficial online Magic tournament scene, usually with Magic Workstation. And they've been running a lot of new tournaments now with the new Extended. They've been doing one per day in a different format each day, some of them the new Extended. So if you want to see what some of the decks that have been winning are, you can, I'll have a link in the show notes, so you can go look at the top 8 deck lists from some of these tournaments that are new Extended. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a rough idea of what people are trotting out for this initial pass at this format.
That will be interesting.
David C., he remembers very fondly the art of Phil and Kaja Foglio. Well, you mentioned this on the art last time about kind of not the typical fantasy art you see in Magic cards. We're talking, if you go back and look at Basil Thrall, tons of cards were done by the Foglios, and they had a very unique kind of cartoony art style that I have always greatly enjoyed. But also, it's not really going to mesh with the current vision for Magic art. But in some ways, I think that may be a little bit of a loss to the game that we don't have that variety. Overall, the art quality now in Magic is probably the best it's ever been, without a doubt.
Hands down.
But I do miss a few of these little more interesting artists that were out there that every once in a while you'd flip through the cards, you didn't have to look there and be like, yep, that is a Foglio piece of art, because it looks like it was painted almost. Last but not least is AJ. He writes in, he was looking at the M11 cards, and he just suddenly realized that the Sword of Vengeance in M11 is the Sword of Akroma. So he thought it would be funny to subtract the sword from her card, and he then attached the resulting card. So instead of a Chroma Angel of Fury, he has a Chroma Angel of Passive Aggression.
That's beautiful.
It's two colorless and three white mana. It's a legendary creature angel. It just has flying, protection from black and red, because it doesn't have its sword. And it's a 4/6.
It's actually not a bad card.
Yeah, it's still not bad. And then the flavor text says, thank you for not suspending Imrakul Ajora, care of your EDH group. And so I thought that was very, very well done. That'll probably be the name of this episode, will be Akroma Angel of Passive Aggression.
I like that.
So very, very, very well done, AJ. I want to say thank you for that. And guys, I'm at the end of the emails. So this is where I have to say everybody's email address. You can email me. I am Pitimp, P-I-T-I-M-P at mtgcast.com. Jack, where should they be hitting you up?
All right. Well, you can hit me up at jack@mtgcast.com with any sort of hate mail. But if you really want to get the good info, you need to follow me at Twitter. That's Jack from NC at got it wrong. Got it wrong again. Okay. It's Jack LaCroix on Twitter. You can also be linked from there to Eric and Conley and Tom and all the other beautiful men that podcast here, including Marcel. And that also links into my Tumblr, where occasionally you'll read about my personal life and random crap that I talk about with magic. So
yes, you do. I was reading your one about how you describe a kind of I'm not gonna say it, but you're describing something to a female friend that never experienced
like a jar
something.
Of peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly. How about for you, Marcel?
It's Marcel at mtgcast.com, and you could catch me also on the hoodshez.com. We got episodes, and we'll have one from the recent riots we had in Oakland, or Oscar Grant thing going on, so you can check that out. It'll be the Blunt World News. We'll have that there. Also, Blunt World on the on YouTube, so check that out, channel Blunt World, if you want to see some other stuff.
Very cool, and really, we don't have any MTGcast news this week. I've been doing job interviews and doing bachelor party stuff, so that's all I have. So we're going to let everybody sign off. It has been a fantastic show. Say thank you to Eric. He's been doing a great job. But also thank you, Jack and Marcel, for staying through the whole show.
Oh, it's no problem, Tom.
Real men have finished last. Because, you know, stamina is a good thing, guys.
It certainly is. And I think that Marcel and I have more than enough to handle whatever may come our way, really.
You have at least twice the stamina of Eric, apparently, from what I can tell from this podcast.
No, not really, because Eric gets him around more than dirty gym socks.
Oh, he does. Yeah, right. I mean, he's like the chlamydia of like magic podcasting.
Whoa, that's his new name, by the chlamydia.
Yeah. He is the chlamydia. He's
chlamydia
now.
Long,
yeah, dead mother has chlamydia now, and that's really a sad, sad day. So, guys, thank you, and I'll be trying to play in the M11 release events, and hopefully, you guys can join me next week for another Monday Night Magic.
All right. See you then.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Adios, folks.